There's a game last night. Some of y'all might have watched it. And quarterback in it is arguably, you'll hear a lot about it today if you listen to the radio or watch sports news, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, Tom Brady. And no doubt about it, unbelievable quarterback, unbelievable what he has accomplished in his life. But you'll hear it. I mean, they're going to be arguing all over the radio, probably not arguing now, probably just declaring, greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. And as you think about that, you think about the greatest of all time. And as we read scripture this morning, you know, Tom Brady, you know, yeah, be no argument from me that he is the greatest quarterback of all time. But the greatest of all time is undoubtedly Jesus Christ. And what great people do is they have great influence. And how, you know, when you look at these guys on TV and just even last night watching the game, we got home from church and watched the second half of it, our halftime kind of through the second half. And, you know, there's a word out today as well, influencer, with a younger crowd. I got high school, I got teenage boys and I got everything from a 2 year old to teenage boys. And, but a big word is, you know, oh, he's an influencer and social media influencer are real people have a big social media following. They're influencers or these artists, musicians, they're influencers, these athletes, they're influencers. And I would say, you know, and you know, you might look at that and say, man, would I ever have that platform? And ability to influence. And I would say when we let the greatest of all time influence our hearts, then he in turn desires to make us influencers. And we can have an eternal influence on the lives of those around us, which is a better influence than any of the pop culture's influencers. Who have a temporal influence, we, because of the transformation and the healing that the greatest one who ever walked the face of the earth does in our life, then he empowers us and gives us a vision to influence all of those around us for eternity. No matter where you are, no matter what resources you have, no matter what stage you might be upon, you have people in your life that God has sovereignly placed in your path to influence. And we're going to learn today how the greatest of all time showed up in the lives of people that were in his pathway. And then he transformed them and then they influenced others. And so Mark 5 is where we'll be. And we'll read the first. But we'll read kind of the first section. It's just broken down into two sections, at least in my ESV. So we'll read the first where he heals a demoniac, and then we'll go on, make some comments, and then we'll read the second where he heals a woman with a bleeding issue and then Jairus' daughter. You guys are familiar with these stories. Hopefully the Lord will give us some fresh insight this morning. So Mark 5:1. So they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him, And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Let me just pray for us one more time, and we'll walk through that one. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its power, that you, how you use it powerfully in our lives, how you use it powerfully to sanctify us, Lord, and I pray that you would do that now. I pray that you would open our eyes to see your truth, to see you, and that we would walk away from this time, men who are renewed in mind and transformed in our hearts. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, okay, a few things as we walk back through that. It's interesting. In Matthew actually says there was two men. And it's not a discrepancy. It's just, you know, different angles of the story. Matthew gives an account of it. Mark gives an account of it. Luke gives an account of this story, of both of these stories that we'll read today. So you think through all that the disciples just went through. Remember that Jesus calmed the storm, wrapping up in verse 4. He calmed the storm. And, I mean, so Jesus takes the disciples through a raging sea just to reach these two men. Think about the lengths that Christ will go to save just one man. The length of the cross. The sea of God's rage and wrath that Christ suffered on the cross. Even if there was just you, even if it was just one man that he was going to save, he would endure. And he calmed the storm of God's wrath for you. He calmed the storm, the raging sea, and then he steps out and immediately he's confronted with what Mark says, this man. Probably referring to the primary man, but he's immediately met, and out of the tombs, this man comes with an unclean spirit. These tombs were catacombs and caves where the demented, where the dead and the demented would hang out, kind of a scary place. Jesus is not afraid to go into scary places to pursue those whom God calls him to pursue. To pursue his children, to pursue those he will want to heal. And when you think about it and you look around in our broken, fallen world, if there's nothing new under the sun, Christ came into a broken, demented place with dead people. It's called earth. It's called, you know, in earth is really, he entered the land of the walking dead. Even though alive and breathing, dead men walking, dead without Christ, without hope, without joy, doing only harm. When you look at this man, he was bound in chains. That's what the enemy does. The enemy will bind you with chains, and the enemy will cause great harm with you. It says night and day, he was crying out, bruising himself with stones, inflicting himself with pain. That's what the enemy does. That's a product of the wickedness of the enemy's culture. the enemy's domain, bringing pain, causing the world, causing people to cry out. We even see, you know, in other places of Scripture how the world moans and groans, waiting for Christ's redemption. And that's the enemy's plan. Make no doubt about it. Read the Proverbs and see the way of folly and see the pain that always comes from folly. And remember this. When you face temptation, remember, man, Satan simply wants to lead me down the pathway of destruction. He simply wants to just bring bruising and cutting to my life, because that's what sin will do. It will bruise my heart. It will cut deeply into my soul, and it will bind me up, and it will hinder me from living the life of freedom that Christ desires me to live. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ comes that we might have life, and not only life, but have it abundantly. So don't allow yourself to be deceived by the fool's gold of sin. It will simply bind you, bruise you, and pierce you. But Christ, he will endure any storm to redeem you, to pull you out from this darkness, to bring you into the kingdom of his light. And so we see the efforts of Christ going to meet this man whom he had a plan for, whom he was calling to himself, his child. We see the enemy, and not only the enemy's destruction upon this man, but the enemy trying to hinder Christ from getting to this man, going through the storm. But the enemy can't hinder Christ. He simply says, be still. And he conquers anything that the enemy will throw to him, even death. He conquered death. And he comes on, and this man begs him, cries out in a loud voice. And he identified, he knows who Christ is. And he knows the authority of Christ. So he begs Christ not to send him out of this region. Because if Christ went ahead and sent him into the abyss, if he went ahead and sent him away, then they could no longer bring pain and suffering into this region. So Christ, you know, says, hey, come out of the man. Says Christ knew who he was dealing with, but just so the others around him could understand the gravity of the situation. And he says, hey, what's your name? And the demon said, Legion. We're many. A legion was about 6,000 men in a Roman troop. So everybody around would have understood. And this is a powerful force we're dealing with. This isn't just one simple demon. This is a legion of demons. 6,000. And so at least that's what the legion represented, a powerful force of 6,000 Roman soldiers. So he says, my name is Legion, we're many. And he begged him earnestly, like I was speaking a minute ago, he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. So where does he send him to? He sends him into a bunch of pigs. And what do the demons do as they possess the wildlife? They rush down the steep bank into the sea, and they're drowned. And so that's 2,000 pigs. I don't know if any of y'all grew up on a farm. That's a lot of money, a lot of cash, especially if you're an Alabama pig. There's a barbecue joint on every corner. There might not have been a barbecue joint on every corner in the garrisons, but you know, that would represent a lot of money there. And so there was a great financial loss to the farmers and to the people of the town. And so the herdsmen fled. You know, I can imagine they wanted to go let people know, hey, we didn't kill the pigs. We were doing our job here. And this guy came in, and this is what he did. And so city comes out. They see what happens. And they see the transformed man. sitting in his right mind and clothed at the feet of Christ. And that's what Christ does. He clothes us with his righteousness, and he cleanses our mind, and he calls us to sit at his feet. And that's what we get the privilege to do every day in his word. We get to the privilege of being able to come and sit at his feet and have our minds renewed so that we can be in our right mind. Don't allow yourself to be tormented by the messages of the enemy. Don't allow yourself to be tormented by the messages of this world. If we indulge too much in the media of this world, our minds will be tormented by the messages of this world. Instead, don't, and Romans says this, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. And so every day we get the privilege of doing what this man was doing, sitting at the feet of Christ and in our right mind. And then we see that the people of the area, so one, the demons begged Christ not to send them away, and he honored that request. The people of the area now, they, in verse 17, begin to beg Jesus to depart from the region. So the demon said, please don't send us away from the region. And Jesus honored that request. The people said, Jesus, you please depart from this region. And what does Jesus do? He honors the request. And then what does the man do? The man who Jesus had saved and who had surely become a believer, he requests as well. He says, he begs. If you look, it's the demons beg, the people beg, and then the formerly demon-possessed man begged. He begged that he might go with Jesus. And whose prayer did he answer? Whose prayer did he answer with a yes? He answered the demon's prayer with a yes. Okay, I'll honor that. He answered the people who wanted him to go away's prayer with a yes. I'll honor that. But the man who was born again, he said no. He said no to his request. I mean, that's pretty interesting. Three beggars here. Jesus honors the request of the non-believing ones. Or I would say they were believing. Demons believed in who Jesus was, but demons weren't born again. Demons weren't worshipers, I'll say. So he said no to the one who was worshiping at his feet. Sometimes Christ's answer to our prayers is no. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. That means he's got a greater plan for us. That means he's got something grander for us. And you could think, man, wow, what could be greater and grander than getting in the boat with Jesus and going with him? Jesus wanted to send him on a mission to transform then the area. Jesus wanted to send him on a mission of influence in that area. He says to the man, he says, no, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go and tell. Go and be a witness of the power of God manifested in your life through the word of the Son, through the word, the healing that has come through the word. The storm through the word ceased. The demons through the word were expelled. The man through the word was healed. The simple word of the great one, the greatest of all time, is powerful. It's effective, and it penetrates, and it does what only it can do. And he told this man to go and tell, all of your family, all of your friends, those in your household, those in your town. Let them see the transforming power of God. And so he does that. He does that. And we know through other accounts of Scripture that the Lord used him. The Lord used him in great ways. He was an influencer for the kingdom of God. He was an influencer for Christ, the one who really matters. He might not have won any awards and Super Bowls, but he influenced people for the glory of God and for eternity. And it's interesting here as well, just to comment that the people of that area were afraid. They were afraid of that power. They were afraid of, maybe they were afraid of either the power, or they were afraid that he would cause more financial harm. Don't be afraid of the financial harm that Christ might bring into your life. He might cause you to give. We've got a missions conference coming up, and Christ might stir your heart to give more than what you've given before. And you think, man, we're in a pandemic or facing hard times. And he might call you. He might not, but he might. Don't be afraid, though, of what he might call you to do. Don't be afraid of the financial challenges that you might face because of what he's called you to. Let him enter in to your world and your life and have his own way. And as he has his own way, all he's going to do is bring more life. All he's going to do is bring more light. And all you're going to do is be filled with more joy and more peace and more hope. Now, he might say no to some requests, like he said no to the request of this gentleman. But that no will be for a greater purpose. It will be for a greater yes. A greater yes to use you in ways that you didn't think possible. And so either they were afraid of the financial harm that he might cause, or either they were simply afraid of his power. And they didn't want his power to enter into the darkness of their hearts. They wanted to maintain control of their own lives. And they saw that this man, Christ had set him free. And they were afraid of maybe what Christ would do with them. Don't be afraid of the power of Christ in your life. Don't be afraid of what where he might send you and what he might ask you to do. So, verse 20, we see that he went everywhere proclaiming how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Everyone marveled at the transformation that had been taking place. Moving on to verse 21, it says, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well, so she may be made well and live. And he went with them. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, there came from the rulers how some who had said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, rise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking. She was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, there's a lot here to unpack in a short amount of time. Now he told them, hey, don't tell anybody. He told the demon-possessed man, go tell everybody. The demon-possessed man was in an area that Christ wouldn't go back to, wouldn't have his ministry in, where this girl, he didn't want to be known for a faith healer, simply. He came to seek and save those who were lost and bring the message of salvation. And so he didn't want that reputation of a faith healer, and he didn't want to stir up the envy of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and hinder that proclamation ministry of the gospel. But let's go back 21. So he's crossed again, and here's a ruler, a man of prestige, a man of means, a man of wealth, a man of influence, who comes to him saying that his daughter is sick. And on the way, then we have a woman, a poor woman, without any influence, an unclean woman. So we have the wealthy, the influencing, and the broken, poor, unclean, that nobody would even want to touch. And she has faith, though. She had heard of reports of people being healed by Christ. She says, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. If only I could draw near. Jesus was crowded around. There were people gathered all around him. But she presses in. Her faith causes her to press in, to seek his face, to seek his healing, to seek his touch. And she touches him. And she's healed. And that's the power of the object of one's faith. Her faith was in Christ, was in him. And the object of our faith calls us to pursue him, to pursue the one who the object of our faith is. Have faith like this woman, whose faith calls her to press in, to push through, and to receive healing from Christ, the object of her faith. Don't allow the things of this world to crowd your faith out. Press in and pursue Christ. And it's interesting, again, she had been basically the walking dead for 12 years. So we have two stories here. We have an unclean, poor woman who had been unclean for 12 years. We have a little girl from a wealthy family, a family of influence, that had, this woman had been the walking dead for 12 years. This little girl had been living life to the fullest for 12 years. So, and Christ is going to show up in both of these people's lives. And when he heals the woman, he realizes that power has gone out. Now, is he trying to embarrass the woman by saying, hey, who touched me? No. He's setting her free in society as well, because she had been known for her illness and she was unclean. And so Christ wants all in the community there to know that she is now clean. She is healed. And so he's identifying her as one who has not only been healed, but Christ wants her to know that she's really healed. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Not only the disease of this bloody discharge, but the disease of sin. Go and be healed. Your faith has made you well. And so then word comes that Jairus' daughter is dead. And word comes of doubting and unbelief. And when Jesus even tells them she's not dead, she's sleeping, they laughed at him. They mocked at him. They mocked him. But what does he do? He puts them outside. And that's the same thing we need to do. Those who would, the doubts, the mocking, the laughing of our faith. No, put those doubts aside. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Don't allow the influences of the world and the influence of Satan to bring doubt into your life. Cast those doubts away and believe in the power of Christ in your life. He tells Jairus, he says, don't fear, only believe. In the Greek there, it would say, keep believing. Don't stop believing. It used to be a song, a rock song, don't stop believing. And that's what Jesus is telling him here. Don't stop believing. Don't allow fear and doubt to come in, just like the good soil that we learned about earlier, don't allow fear and doubt to come in and choke out that faith that wants to thrive and shine through. You just saw me heal this woman who has been basically dead woman walking for 12 years. Let's go to your child. She's not dead. I'll bring life to her as well. She's sleeping. So he goes in and he says, little girl, it says really like young lamb. If you look at that word as well, young lamb, arise. Look at the compassion of Christ. To the woman, he says, daughter. That word of intimacy, that word of familial intimacy. And right here, little lamb, young lamb. Look at the care, the compassion, the tenderness of Christ here. And he says, arise. And immediately she's healed. And then Jesus says, hey, give her some food. Let her continue being healthy. See the power of Christ to bring healing, even to those who were unhealable. The woman, Luke makes references, nobody could heal her. Nobody could heal her. This demon-possessed man, nobody could constrain him. This little girl, she's dead. Nobody can raise the dead. Christ can. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Guys, show up. Show up and let Christ transform you. And then go influence those around you. Whether it's a grandchild, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a worker who's helping you check out at Publix or Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever you might shop. Christ can do the impossible in your life. Christ can do the impossible in their life. Show up and let Christ use you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word this morning. I pray that we would show up. And Lord, I thank you that you have shown up. You have shown up in our life. You showed up through the storms of the sea. You showed up to the demoniac and you healed him. You showed up through the crowds and the throngs of people and you healed this woman with this disease. You showed up through the mocking and the laughing and the unbelief of the mourners and you rose and you healed this little girl. Lord, thank you that you have shown up in our lives. And I pray that through your transforming grace, then we would go and show up in the lives of those around us. And we would be influencers for your glory, the greatest of all time, the one who can do immeasurably more than what we ever ask or imagine. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. In Christ's name, amen.